Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in our Old Testament reading from the holy prophet Ezekiel, we have an example of something that is so common among the Old Testament prophets. In the midst of the harshest pronouncements of judgment upon the people of Israel for their unfaithfulness to the Lord God and the covenant which he made with their fathers on Sinai, there is a break, seemingly incongruous and out of nowhere, where the pronouncements of judgment and condemnation with no preparation come to a screeching halt. And all of a sudden, the light of the gospel shines through. And that's what we have in this morning's text. Now, for some context for Ezekiel's prophecy. The people of Judah have recognized the rising power of Babylon, and they fear that Babylon may come and conquer them. And the kingdom of Judah has refused to take refuge in the Lord, refused to have faith in the Lord's protection despite his promises. In their unbelief, the Lord God even so condescended to them and offered to them that which they ought not have needed for faith. But nonetheless, God offers to give them a sign, perform some sort of miracle to prove the validity of his promises. And yet again, they refused. With the veneer of piety, the king even quoted scripture against the prophet Isaiah, whom the Lord had sent. This, of course, is just the last faithless act in a long string of idolatry and rebellion by the people of Judah. And so the just judgment of God is pronounced. The Babylonians will win decisively over Israel. They will conquer the kingdom of Judah, and they will lead the people into captivity for their faithlessness. Thus says the Lord God, "As I live, surely it is my oath that Israel despised, and my covenant that they broke. I will return it upon their heads. I will spread my net over them, and they shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring them to Babylon, and enter into judgment with them for their treachery they have committed against me. And all the pick of their troops shall fall by the sword, the survivors shall be scattered to every wind, and you shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken." And yet even when the people are faithless, and even when God enters into just judgment over his people according to the works of their hands and the corruption of their hearts, God promises yet a greater salvation by the works of his hand and according to the love of his heart. And so we see immediately following this just pronouncement of judgment on Israel, the promise of mercy and salvation, which is worked by God's grace alone, is announced. You, Israel, have failed. You have sinned. You, Israel, have broken the covenant. But thus says the Lord God, I myself, the Lord God says, will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. What is this lofty cedar spoken of by God? It is none other than the line of David, Israel's great king who sought after the Lord's heart, to whom God had promised an heir who would sit on the throne forever. And so we have this great cedar, which is the line of David. But who is the twig broken from the top of that cedar? He is the tender shoot who has sprouted up in the fullness of time, the seed of Abraham, the shoot of Jesse, the branch of David. It is none other than Christ our Lord, who was descended from David according to the flesh and born in the house of David according to the law. He who is named Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. Of him the Lord God says, I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. It is Christ who is broken off from his people and from the living and planted by God on a cross. Planted in Israel, planted in Jerusalem, planted on Mount Golgotha. His outstretched arms, the mighty branches, working salvation. He is planted to turn the dead wood of the cross into the tree of life, into a mighty vine whose fruit brings salvation to all who eat it in faith. Indeed, our first parents were overcome by sin and death by eating of the fruit of the tree, and their transgression is now overcome by the fruit of Christ's tree, his body and blood given and shed as the new covenant that supersedes the old, which was broken by Israel, the fruit of which grants the forgiveness of sins and preserves life to everlasting life. It is for his name's sake that our life is preserved on account of him, that the Lord enters not into judgment with us. So here we see and hear God's gospel promise to work a salvation for his people Israel by his own hand and by his own might. And we also see here in Ezekiel an example of something else that is so common among the Old Testament prophets. That the salvation, the gospel promise given by God, extends not just to his faithful people, but far beyond it and abounds all the more. The new covenant fulfills all God's promises to his Old Testament people, Israel, and overflows beyond them to include the nations. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. That tree planted in Israel, the tree of Christ's cross, the tree of life, the tree which is his body, the church, will be the dwelling place of every kind of bird. That is to say, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for the nations, for all people. By the call of the gospel, all people who hear and respond in faith, for the Jew first, but also to the Greek, all people will find their rest in him. Jew and Gentile in one tree, baptized into one body, one people under one good shepherd, coming together as one family at the table of the Lord, to eat and drink together, to commune together, all partaking in the fruit of that one tree. As the Apostle Paul says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we are all partakers of the one bread. The shoot of Jesse, the branch of David, the vine of Israel, is Jesus Christ our Lord. As Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And as St. Paul says, the Gentiles have been grafted into the nourishing root of Israel, that is into Christ. With the coming of Christ, God fulfills all his promises to his people. He fulfills all his promises to Israel. And he expands in the new covenant that community to all who are his by faith. And so that is to say that you are Israel. All the Old Testament promises of God are given to you, his church. You who have been made his people by that sprig from the lofty top of the cedar, and whom he planted with the cross on Golgotha. And now being one in Christ's one death and one in his one resurrection, our view of our neighbors changes. As the Apostle Paul said, Christ has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. There is no Jew nor Gentile, black or white, Hispanic or Asian, whatever it might be, but all those who are in Christ Jesus are one people, God's people. As the Apostle Paul says to the church, the Apostle Peter says to the church, who is the Israel of God, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so let us conclude with one last word from the Apostle Paul. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Indeed, you are his new creation. Amen.